Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. That distinguished man right there, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. We just heard from Bob Hokanson on the news that Secretary Galvin's going to be holding the lottery to pick the order for the presidential primary. Interesting process. I wonder why, and still in this day and age, we kind of do it that way. But
I think that's to ensure that the alphabetical order isn't followed, that it's some random selection and there's no bias and, you know, it's fair to the candidates kind of a thinking, I would imagine. Because, you know, a lot of people are going to go, okay, first one.
You know,
or the last one.
I do believe it is by statute. Secretary Galvin, having run in a couple political races, both you and I over the years, I mean, people do get all hypersensitive about, you know, is it alphabetical? Is it in order? Some people think there's a strategy there. I'm going to vote for my guy, regardless if he's on the top, bottom, middle, whatever. But there is a strategy there. You know, you're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. You know, one of the best things about a Sunday morning is you can listen to the radio and All Politics is Local and read your local papers. Howie Carr has a wonderful article this morning about Bernie Sanders. Bernie's American dream is more like a bad nightmare, talking about how Bernie Sanders wants to get us into a golf cart society and make us more like North Korea. We've got Hillary Clinton we can talk about. We just spent an hour on the phone with the guy from Boston, Joe Ligotti. It was wonderful to have Joe join us. Quite an honor to have a guy like him call into All Politics is Local. But I think, Terry, you know, you and I were talking about, you know, the terrorist watch list, the no-fly list, and guns.
Well, let's talk a bit about the no-fly list. I guess the problem, if Ted Kennedy was still alive, he couldn't buy guns because he was on that list. And there are a few people that are on that no-fly list. So the problem with the no-fly list is people don't know how in the world they get on it. So I just think this...
And don't know how to get off of it, too.
Well, that's the other thing. And there are a number of people that are air marshals that are on the list. So I don't know if there's some algorithm that puts you on there, but I think it's just a silly discussion, quite honestly. The no-fly list is something that certainly needs to be perfected a bunch more. And, you know, so let's say you're an honest citizen and you want to buy a firearm, which is your right, and you're on this no-fly list, and you may not find out till you go to buy a firearm because you don't fly for whatever reasons. Or they have the wrong name or whatever. I think it's just sand in our face to distract us from the real facts.
Hey, if you're a gun person out there and you want to join the conversation on All Politics is Local, bang the phones, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. I know there's a lot of gun people out there, and this will be an opportunity for you to have some of the dialogue. But getting back to the list, and if you're on the list... there's been a lot of talk about the subject this past week. You know, Governor Baker's had some thoughts on it. President Obama's had some thoughts on it. We were talking right before we came back on the air. President Obama's been good for gun sales.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing that's been good for gun sales are all these acts of terrorism and shootings, because every time there's one, stock goes up for the gun manufacturers. In fact, interesting... after San Bernardino, Smith & Wesson stock went up 7.6%. Sturm Ruger, and which both of these are local companies, by the way, went up 5.8%. So it's interesting that it's just almost insane in one sense. So if next time there's a shooting, you want to make a little money in the stock market and get a little blood on your hands, maybe buy some stock because it's going to go up 5, 6, 7%. Another little interesting thing, there's so much interest in guns. I think Obama's been the best gun salesman, ever. There's actually going to be a live shopping a show put together by Gun TV. They're going to ring it out in the new year. Going to be on the air for 6 hours. And then I think in 2017, they're going to go 24/7. You can buy guns on like a QVC kind of a environment. So
how will they do background checks? And
beats me.
Really?
Yeah, so this is, coming to your television station. Another interesting thing, and I just can't see that lasting for a long time.
Is it going to be covered by the major cable networks, a dish network?
Well, I mean, honestly, the networks will run pretty much anything that people pay for.
Well, that's true. But, getting back to the list, if you're on the list, you can't buy a gun. Some people do get on the list, like you said, because they didn't want to take their shoes off or they wore a belt that they didn't want to take off. They end up on that list and they won't be able to buy a gun. I'm sure there's going to be court battles going back and forth, flying back about that, constitutional rights versus, states' rights. It's going to be an interesting conversation. You mentioned, Obama's been the greatest gun salesman in the history of the United States. We just got off, talking about terrorism and how people are afraid. Is that why people are buying guns? Are they buying guns to protect themselves from the government? I mean, what are you hearing? You're a gun guy. So.
I'm a gun guy. I own several. And I'm fully licensed to, go out and target shoot and hunt and all that stuff. I'm not a big hunter, but I do like to go target shooting at the range down the street from where I live. But I think a lot of it is, and this is anything, if somebody said we're going to ban chocolate pudding, people they buy barrels of it. So a part of it is the perception that guns are going to be outlawed more, it's going to be much more difficult to buy them, and I think that's a lot of it. Now, there are more people that are buying guns for protection. One of the things that's happened in the last few years, more women are buying guns.
Right.
And there's like the Mass Firearms over in Holliston. Go there on a Sunday or on the weekend, and people are learning how to shoot guns. They're doing a land office business. So the gun industry's in pretty good shape, and more and more people are interested in guns and things that are for their self-defense. People are worried. That's the number one concern of people right now.
You nailed it right there. I'm a notary public, and one of my coworkers the other day said, hey, can you notarize something for me? And I said, yeah, sure, what do you got? And he goes, I'm getting a gun permit. And I go, really? And I go, why? And great guy, super nice guy. And I said, why? Why are you getting a gun permit? He goes, because I'm scared. He goes, I don't want anybody walking into this work building to happen and what happened in California to happen here. So I'm going to carry. And boy, I had a mixture of emotions on that subject. I'm thinking, wow, here we are talking about, that we're even thinking about somebody coming into our workplace shooting us up, but it could happen.
It's happened.
And anti-gun or anything. I don't want to carry a gun. I don't want to live in a society where we carry a gun, but I think maybe we're getting to that point. And, it was really chilling, though, just the way he said it, just so bluntly, like, I'm going to carry a gun just in case anybody comes in here shooting. And he goes, sit close to me, you'll be safer.
John, I'd advise you, if somebody's coming in to shoot at you, get yourself behind a filing cabinet.
There you go.
Find a safe place to hide. That's the best survival mechanism, quite honestly, is in running and hiding.
But let's just take a step back. We're less than 2 weeks away from Christmas in the year 2015, when we should be talking about, the joys of the holiday season and Christmas miracles. And really what we're talking about is we're talking about terrorists that are coming to our country trying to kill us.
Well, John, talking about Christmas is not politically correct. Are you out of your mind?
Well, I'm a lover of Christmas, and I will say Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas, New England.
Absolutely. And Happy Hanukkah. And Happy Hanukkah, whatever your holidays are.
Absolutely. Happy Hanukkah to everybody out there. Happy Kwanzaa to everybody out there. But you know what? It is the Christmas season, yes. So, Merry Christmas. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN. Give us a call, 508-871-7000. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. Merry Christmas, everybody. That's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. Right before the break, we were talking about the best gun salesman in the history of the United States, Barack Obama, and the fear factor that everybody has about going to work, going to vote, going to school, and having to deal with terrorism.
Well, we were talking about people having guns and your coworker that wanted to buy a gun. And he sounds like a guy who's a rookie. He's not really trained in the use of a firearm. So for those folks who want to get their pen, I believe in Massachusetts, you have to take a gun safety course or have some documented prior experience in using firearms, such as military or police or something like that.
So, if I could jump in, the other thing is...
Hi, Bob Hogenson, executive producer.
Yes, I'm friendly and housebroken, so just to let your audience know that. The other thing in Massachusetts, it's up to the local licensing authority, read that police chief and so on, in your community, whether you're going to be allowed to exercise your Second Amendment. And as a matter of fact, if you're in Massachusetts and move from one community to another community... you have to re-register with the police. And guess what other group of people that would apply to? Any concept here? Any thoughts? They're called sex offenders.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Sex offenders, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're both three-letter words for start, sex and guns, or gun.
Be that as it may. And let me just say this, that, how I'm viewing this discussion, the Democrats want to, A, disarm us, and, B, bring in more people who apparently want to kill us.
It
Whereas what I propose is just allow us to defend ourselves and exercise our Second Amendment, which is our God-given or right of nature, depending upon, your persuasion and so on. Let us do that. Because how dare you tell us that we can't defend ourselves? How dare you? And I think that Americans are getting fed up with this. And you see that with the reaction, going out with people wanting to vote for Donald Trump, getting sick of political correctness, and getting fed up with what's going on in the United States.
Well, there you go. Hey, join the conversation, 508-871-7000. We're talking about guns on Sunday morning, just a couple of days before Christmas. I think Bob brings up a good point. Hey, and a big shout out to Bob. Welcome back to Bob. Bob's been away for a while. Radio legend, Bob. So let's go to the phones. I think we got Jim in Worcester. Let's talk a little bit about guns. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for calling into All Politics is Local in Massachusetts.
Good morning, and I love your program.
Oh, aren't you nice? Thank you.
Yes. I'd like to speak about handguns. People want to own handguns, and they want to be able to use them. But what they don't realize, most people do not realize, is that it is very difficult to use a pistol. Very difficult. It takes constant practice, and you don't get a person who owns a handgun, a pistol, does not realize that it's going to take their practice of hundreds of hours to get any kind of accuracy or efficiency from the use of that handgun.
So, Jim, do you shoot a handgun?
Well, I did in the military.
So,
I had to practice a lot.
So do you realize that shooting sports in the United States is actually one of the top recreational activities here in the U.S.?
Yes, and primarily that's what I've done.
Okay.
Sharpshooting, target shooting, things like that. That's why I was raised. I shot guns and owned one since I was 7 years old. I come from East Tennessee.
So then, Jim, would you say then that you don't feel that the average person has the wherewithal, either mental or physical ability, to handle a handgun? Is that what you're getting to?
No, I think they're ignorant. I think they're ignorant.
So gun owners are ignorant. Is that what you're getting at, Jim?
Yeah, that's not. I don't mean it in a bad way.
Oh, no. We don't take it that way, Jim. We think that's, it's very profound. Okay.
Yes, they lack the knowledge or the realization that it takes expertise to use.
Jim, let me back up, if I may. We had those Bonnie and Clyde there shooters there out in California. They did have handguns with them. I'm not sure if they actually utilized them or not, but they were able to take out 14 people. Do you think that it would have been a good idea that in this gun-free zone that had one of the people at the holiday/Christmas party been armed? What do you think of that?
I think it would have done them no good at all.
No good at all. No good at all. So they still would have been dead because these Bonnie and Clyde jihadis here were so proficient with their guns that the average American could not have defended his or herself. Is that what you're telling me? I'm just curious.
No, they wouldn't. But it was a surprise attack, and they came in with this assault.
So we're better off being disarmed. You're better off not being able to defend yourself with allowing somebody to attack you. I guess that's what we're getting out of this.
I guess what I'm hearing is that,
Jim, which what you're saying is that everybody's rushing to buy guns, but there is a lot of training, as Terry mentioned. I mean, you have to go through training courses. You'd have to go through safety courses. You just can't go out and buy a gun and expect to be safe. You have to practice. You have to know how to, respect your weapon. Is that what you're trying to say, Jim?
No.
Okay.
No. What I'm talking about, and you don't have to go through a lot of target training. You have to go through a safety course, and you can buy a gun. Big deal. On Corey Check. But I'm saying that when people buy guns, if they do, then they have to realize that it is an instrument that takes practice to use, just like any other instrument. And talking about, and I'd like to make a comment about those poor people in California. They would have never had a chance. Their reaction times wouldn't have been that fast. And those two people, or three people, whoever they were, they came in, and they came in spraying.
No, absolutely.
These people never had a chance.
No, you're right.
Well, I know a lot of these terrorists come in, and they're there for a few minutes. And if there's one or two people around that have firearms training, and for that matter, some training that would prepare them for that situation, because the reality is, a gun owner that's gone to the range for a few hours and has familiarized himself with their personal firearm a little bit, quite honestly isn't prepared, because the first thing that's happening, their adrenaline is flowing by the gallon, and when that happens, your hand shakes. But honestly, if you can't put a couple of rounds, in the body mass, in other words, in the chest area, and knock them down, you shouldn't have the thing.
Well, I would contend that if you don't have the thing, you have no chance of doing it anyway.
That's correct.
So isn't it better, and in my opinion it is, to allow a person the right to defend themselves against an assailant than say, no, you can't, you have to be a sheep?
No. That's not what I'm saying.
I didn't say what you're saying. I just threw the comment out there, but... Go ahead, Jim. You got about a minute or so before we have to go to break.
Thank you. I'll make it quick. I do believe that people should be able to own their handguns, and I think they should be able to wear them on their sides if need be in the workplace, especially if they're dealing with the public. And that is good. They should be able to defend themselves in the workplace. And I am for that, and I wish we did, because not all of the situations that come out are like California. The rest are people coming in and starting shooting, and a lot of times they're using handguns.
You know, Jim, and let me just share this with you. Every case that we are going to bring up about the mass shootings and so on, quote unquote, has been stopped by someone with a firearm, be it a law enforcement or be it somebody who happened to be on the scene.
Yes.
And when somebody shows up with a gun, typically the assailant, the shooter, either surrenders, commits suicide, or is gunned down by the good guy with the gun. That's what happens.
Yes.
Over and over and over. So, Jim, here's what we need to do, is we need to allow the American citizenry to arm themselves and to defend themselves, because it's better to have a gun in the hand than a cop on the line, as the saying goes.
Exactly. Thank you.
There you go. Hey, Jim from Worcester, thanks for joining us here on All Politics is Local. And, call in again real soon.
Yeah, our number, by the way, 508-871-7000. If you'd like to chime in, we'd like to hear from you on All Politics is Local.
There you go. Thank you. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. We're going to take a quick break and join CBS News at the bottom of the hour. You're tuned to All Politics is Local. Join the conversation, 508-871-7000.
Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts. Little Guns N' Roses to get you up and going on Sunday morning. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. You know, I sat around, watched some football last Sunday afternoon. I have to give him credit. He still gets me to watch him. But I anxiously waited around to see what President Obama had to say last week about on TV about terrorism and about the unfortunate events in California. I wanted to scream at the television, "It's ISIS, Mr. President. It's not ISIL." Your thoughts?
Well, again, it's the same thing, but it was 14 minutes of my life I wish I could get back. It was basically a waste of time, waste of air time. Nothing new was said. Nothing with any content was really said. I'm surprised that he acknowledged that it was a terrorist event and not some workplace shooting or something, because I think he begrudgingly called it a terrorist operation. But, you know, the truth is the truth.
You know, it's interesting to see kind of how the shine has come off the star of Obama. I mean, one thing that he was always great at doing was reading off a teleprompter. He wasn't even good at that last Sunday night.
Well, he wasn't comfortable being there, and that's, what, the third time he's had the Oval Office speeches, and this one was pretty much content-free. You think that he would want to reassure the American public that, we're taking these actions to do our best to make sure this doesn't happen again. We're pursuing these terrorists, and if there are others, we're going to get them. Really none of that.
You know, as we've mentioned a couple times, we were in Worcester, and Donald Trump, got up and said, "I'm going to bomb the S out of them."
Yep.
And 15,000 people jumped to their feet and, standing ovation and the energy in the room. And then you've got President Obama on Sunday night, be nice to everybody, respect everybody. And you know what? You should be nice to everybody, and you should respect everybody, absolutely. But these people want to kill us. Well, these people have come to our country, want to kill us, and he's telling us to be nice to everybody. Okay, well, nice to the nice people, but be mean to the people that are here to kill us.
Well, actually, we've talked about sealing the borders and not allowing Muslims into the country. That's a lot easier said than done, and both politically and realistically, because we haven't been able to seal our borders yet. And, ask the average American or the Mexican citizen who's walked across the border, 10 times, or the guy in San Francisco that killed that poor girl. He'd come across the border, three or four times?
Three or four times, living in a sanctuary city. Yep.
Yeah. And don't get me started on sanctuary cities. Talk about an open flouting of the law.
Well, Somerville wants to be a sanctuary city here in Massachusetts.
Why?
I have no idea.
So you're a city that you want to harbor criminals.
Okay. Join us.
You know, the hole-in-the-wall gang, you know, in your local Somerville eatery. Really?
You know, it goes back to, you know, a conversation that you and I talk a lot about where are the leaders in this country right now? I mean, why would you want a sanctuary city? Why would you think that was a good idea? You got the President of the United States, you know, preempting, you know, football, coming on and in the good old days, the fireside chats or Reagan would come on and we talked about it earlier in the program about American pride and the president was going to be our beacon of hope and our beacon of leadership. And we got that last Sunday night. Oh, my gosh.
Well, even, you know, even the liberal press are starting to be critical of Obama. Now, of course, that's easy. He's in his swan song period.
Oh, sure.
You know, he's has just over a year left in office. And some people have talked about impeaching him. Well, guess what? You know, the way the snail's pace, actually slower than snail's pace, that Congress would move, you know, Obama would be well out of office by the time he was actually impeached because they're going to talk about it for a year.
You know, but I thought it was interesting on the Democrat side. Even, you know, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, they didn't really come out and say, you know, condemn the speech or criticize the speech.
But they didn't, you know, promote it or say it was great either.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, we could talk all morning, and it's a hot-button topic. You know, why does the president say ISIL instead of ISIS?
Well, actually, I read something recently that the ISIL is actually an organization that's really for the world takeover by the Islam world. So
some will say that he's slight, you know, it's just he's sticking it to the Jewish community when he,
yep,
when he does that.
Yeah. But who knows? Who knows, really?
I mean, you can certainly cut the tension between Netanyahu and President Obama. And
you can't compare those two as far as leaders.
Oh, absolutely not.
Even Vladimir Putin, I think people think he's much more of a leader than Barack Obama. I do, and I'm no fan of Putin at all.
No, absolutely. You know, but we talked earlier in the program, Iran's testing missiles again. You know, and if I'm in Israel, I'm concerned about it.
And North Korea's rattling their saber. They want something. Well, winter's coming. They probably want to, you know, tons of food.
Feed their nation, absolutely. Yeah. You know, what better way to do it than test a missile?
Yeah, and you know, the world will fawn on them and give them things to stop rattling their saber. So,
hey, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. We'll talk about anything, world politics. But let's talk a little bit about local politics, because all politics is local in Massachusetts. You and I were hanging out at the State House on Monday.
Yep.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, they actually had an event there. You know, Governor Baker has a bill that he's introduced that's getting a lot of kudos from mayors and town managers, city managers across the Commonwealth. So huge support from the grassroots community and basically trying to streamline the relationship between the state and local government, you know, cutting out some of the regulations, making it easier for them to do business. And it's interesting, you know, the people that are panning that, for instance, are newspapers, because one of the things he said, you may not have to post public notices in the newspaper, and you know the public notices are paid for, you know, by the municipalities, and it's a revenue source for newspapers.
It's a big revenue source,
and newspapers, quite honestly, they're in a bit of trouble. Their circulation is down because everybody can get news all day long on their cell phone. You know, news and things just broadcast. So newspapers and people are getting lazy too. They don't want to read. And well, actually, for me, I converted the three newspapers I read every day on my tablet. And guess what? My tablet paid for itself in about a month.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So
no, but we're talking about the postings that Terry says that nobody reads. I know it from my municipal experience. You would put the postings in, and then you would open up the meeting and reread the postings, and nobody reads them, nobody sees them. But they can be $300 revenue per ad, you know, depending on the size of the ad, for the newspaper. It's huge revenue for print media. So you bring up a great point. But once again, Governor Baker's trying to touch everything. We were at a Young Republican event on Monday night in Boston. And Charlie Baker went on about what he's doing to fix the registry. You know, just putting people in the right queue at the registry is making a world of difference.
Well, there's that. But, you know, back a little bit to the streamlining of the laws, basically giving more power to municipalities. You know, some of the things they want to do, of course, is to lift the cap on restaurant and liquor licenses.
Right.
Make it easier for the town to have their local control, have their local flavor, what makes sense. You know, let the selectmen or the town council, city council, make the decisions for the town rather than having to go to the nanny state. But, yeah, it was interesting. You know, something that started, not too long ago, and you know, the governor was getting a lot of complaints about people going to the registry, and honestly, I think I'd rather have, you know, hit my hand with a hammer a couple of times than go to the registry, and thankfully, I only have to go there every 10 years to get my license renewed.
Get your eyes checked.
Yeah, see if I'm still, you know, able to drive and see where I'm going. But they worked on the lines, and, you know, the original thing, first come, first service, regardless of what you do, you get in the line. And that works fine if you're doing something like at the airline, getting a ticket or checking your baggage. But there are something like 50 different kinds of transactions you can do at a registry, and they started to, you know, separate things a little bit and, in a way, a triage. And guess what? A lot of the lines at the registries are non-existent now because they become more efficient in managing the lines and helping people kind of go off to the side and finish their paperwork rather than showing up at the desk and say, oh, you need this, you know, oh, I didn't know.
You can print stuff now off your Wi-Fi off the phones. They'll let you use their printers. If you don't have the right form, go step over here.
They'll help you.
You know, and it's amazing that, you know, customer service, that, you know, it takes a hands-on politician like a Charlie Baker to sit there and go into a registry and just step back and take a step back and go, okay, wait a minute, let's try this, let's try that.
Yep.
And it's made a world of difference.
Yep.
It takes a four-hour experience, you know, 4 or 5 hour experience where you can read a book at the registry to you're in and out in 20 minutes now.
Well,
you know, that's the power of government. You know, as a smaller government guy, you know, I always want smaller government, but I want more efficient government too, and I want fiscally conservative government. And, you know, if a guy goes to the registry and sits there with his own eyes and goes, well, let's try this, let's try that, it shows you how dysfunctional government can be also as well. It's like it was that easy to fix?
Well, you know, part of what they're trying to do is to get government out of the way of doing business and business, both for businesses and people. So, you know, remember there are 1,684 regulations on the books governing businesses in this Commonwealth. So
we're breaking a law every day, and you just don't know it.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're working on and rationalizing that to some number that makes sense, because some of those have to be antiquated. They just have to be.
He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRM. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back talking more about politics on a Sunday morning. You're tuned to WCRN 830.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. That distinguished guy right there, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. Merry Christmas, New England. Happy Sunday morning. Terry, a pretty interesting development happened about a little over a week ago. Women in combat now. Women can now participate in combat duties in the United States military.
Yeah, well, they're working on making that happen. And then, of course, the next question that comes up, all right, are women, when they turn 18, going to have to register for the draft like men do? Well, I guess the question is, why not?
Sure, why not?
Now, do I want my daughter or my granddaughters, even worse, at some point to go into combat? No, but that desire is no less. I wouldn't want my own son to go, but, you know, if they chose to go to the military in a combat arms role, you know, it's hard to say no to something like that because they are, you know, willing to make that sacrifice or potential sacrifice.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Now, you know, somebody can argue, you know, are women as competent in combat as men? Well, my response to that, and this will surprise some people, is not every man is competent to be in combat.
Absolutely.
Now, are there less women that are, I guess, able to be in combat? Possibly. But I've met some women that were in the Israeli army, and they were pretty tough cookies. I mean, they were in combat arms, and so it'll be interesting to see. It's certainly a battlefield dynamic, but, you know, the battlefield is not the same as it used to be. We have drones, we have helicopters, so it's not like we line, you know, 1,000 people up in two lines and, you know, another woman in combat, Barack Obama. I'm sorry. No, he's not transgender. But anyway, or maybe he is. Who knows?
Hey,
there have been accusations.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, there have been accusations about his wife and that. We read crazy stuff, though. But anyway, something interesting also, to change the subject just a shade. Yesterday in 1870, Joseph H. Rainey of South Carolina became the first black congressman to the United States Congress.
What year was that again?
1870. And in South Carolina. You know, somebody would have said, you know, New York or Illinois, but South Carolina.
There you go. I wouldn't have guessed that, no.
Yeah.
In 10 guesses, no.
So it's easy that, you know, barriers will be being broken quite a long time ago. You know, that's 145 years ago.
There you go. Hey, a big decision in Texas, one person, one vote, yeah. Supreme Court.
Yes, it is interesting, and they're talking about having their decision, I think, this coming week, and it's around one person, one vote, and should a legislative district size be determined by the number of eligible voters or the population? And currently it's by population, so... For instance, here in Massachusetts, I think our legislative districts are split into, I think, roughly 17,000, depending on which one you're talking about. For the state representation, I think it's around 17,000 voters, actually. But anyway, our citizens. So this makes a bit of a difference because what happens today gives a little bit more power, if you will, to cities, because they generally have a greater population of people who can't vote, either by, you know, the fact they can't vote. You have more immigrants, as an example, in urban areas versus in the suburban and even rural areas. So it would change the dynamics. And the other part of it, it would change the balance of power between Republicans and Democrats, because the Democrats tend to be stronger in the cities, and Republicans tend to be stronger in the rural areas. So it's an interesting decision to come up, and it's all from the fact that a young lady ran for state senate in Texas, and she complained about the mix of the voters, and it's at the Supreme Court, and they're seriously talking about changing the law, changing the way this is evaluated.
And what do you think? I mean, where do you come down on it?
Well, I think it would certainly encourage more people to vote. I guess I'd like to see it change to eligible voters.
I come down on that, too. Is the way you can get more people involved in elections. I mean, when we're talking about elections and we're proud of 12, 13, 14% turnouts, I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, we saw an election in our hometown, you know, last year. 221 people voted out of 10,500. Really? Why bother spending the money?
You know, and here we are on All Politics is Local. I will tell you that your local election and the decisions that you make or, more importantly, don't make on your local election have much more effect on if you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, yep. Bernie Sanders. You know, your local elections are where your kids' education is determined, your school funding is determined, your trash pickup, your water bill, your property taxes. If you don't think those are the most important elections, I challenge you and ask you to please take a second look at it, because those are where all the decisions, you know, that yep. affect your pocketbook are made. And if you're not showing up to, you know, put somebody on your board of selectmen or your city council or your mayor's race, I almost say shame on you. And you certainly, yep. you know, and if you don't vote, you can't complain. And I know a lot of people who do complain, and I always say, did you vote? And they say no. And then
well, then shut up. Well, you don't say that, but...
Well, sometimes you feel like saying
well,
it.
Well, you know, but you say, you know, if you don't vote, then do you really have the right to complain? Actually, you do, but realistically, let's participate, and because it does make a difference, especially at the local level, as you've indicated. I mean, you think about the place where the most money is spent, and who drives that spending? School committee makes
right.
a lot of decisions. So half the, actually more than half the budget in most municipalities is a school. So it's very important. And of course, your selectmen or your city council or town council, whatever, they drive the spending. They drive how many firemen you have, how many police officers you have, how many school teachers you might have. And, you know, does your road get fixed or none get fixed? So get out there and vote for those. But first, before you vote, become educated. You know, talk to the candidates because they're always willing to talk to the constituency. Find out what they're about. Find out what they want to do for you or might not want to do for you. So, and vote accordingly. Be smart.
Yeah, you have to be smart. You have to be aware. You know, in today's day and age, you know, we were talking about how newspapers have been impacted and people don't have. I find it better. I mean, almost everybody's got a phone in their pocket now. You can get your news on your phone. You can get up on the local issues. It's a big core value of us. All politics is local. Everything comes back to the local level. We just got a couple minutes left. I know you want to extend birthday wishes to a friend out there.
Right. Our friend Mike Stopa, who's a physicist by training, and we always call him, whether he's working at Harvard or MIT, and he tends to go between both of them. He's kind of the token Republican in those liberal establishments. And
Can you imagine being a Republican at Harvard and sitting in the lunchroom having those conversations?
Well, actually, he's a very, very intelligent man, a caring guy. I think he has a lot of fun, actually, talking to the liberals. And he's also a strong Trump supporter. We saw him at the Trump event.
We did, yeah. Yeah, Mike Stopa's been a regular on WCRN. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Great guy.
Happy birthday, Mike, over in Holliston.
There you go. Hey, you know, we are now on Sunday mornings, 10 to noon on WCRN 830. We're going to have an action-packed show next week. We're going to have some young Republicans. And when I say young Republicans, some teenagers in here, we're going to have that. Governor Christie is scheduled to be calling in next week,
yep.
Talking about his chances up in New Hampshire.
Which are good.
And we're also going to be joined by National State Committee Chairman Chanel Prunier on All Politics is Local next Sunday. She's going to be joining us as well. So learn more about the program, allpoliticsislocalma.com. That's allpoliticsislocalma.com. You can hear other editions of our radio program and our TV program. Learn more about the program. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. We're wishing you a Merry Christmas.
And go Pats.
And go Pats. So like I said, allpoliticsislocalma.com. That's allpoliticsislocalma.com. We'll be back next Sunday. We hope you've enjoyed us and learn more about us. Allpoliticsislocalma.com. And we'll be back again next Sunday, 10 to noon. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. Have a good weekend, everybody.
I would walk to